Howdy. Bad day, huh? Jesus loves Tuesdays, whether you do or not. So just to be encouraged that every day is the same to him. So good to have you. What a great group. So let me see the verse that I didn't get right. And maybe he read it and I just wasn't paying attention. This is John 14:28. Well, there you go. That's pretty good at our age. Not bad. No, that's right. Jesus said in verse 28 of John 14, "You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you will have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Over the years that I've read this particular scripture, I always believed I didn't really fully understand what it meant. So one of those things I've learned over the years, you just put it on the shelf, just keep reading, and eventually when it's time, the Holy Spirit can get your attention enough to explain it to you. When I do that, sometimes when I'm not really sure, like I'll read some other things other people have to say, and they all say really good things. Most of the time, it'll be about the fact that even though the Father and the Son were equal, Jesus regarded him in terms of role, that kind of thing. But I never felt comfortable with that, because when you read this little section, the whole section here, it says, "If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I said I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here." So Jesus is saying, he discussed the saying that he goes to the Father, for the Father, he said, "You should be excited I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than me." And then in the last verse of that chapter, he says, he's going to do what he's going to do, the cross. "So I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. So as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." So when Jesus said, "I go to the Father," you should be excited about that because the Father is greater than I. I don't think that was about hierarchy. I think it was about affection and love. Because that's what love does. Love, remember again, Philippians 2, Jesus said, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty self-glory, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." It's a pretty powerful statement. And he's just been telling them about walking in the love of Christ. And so he said, this is what the love of Christ looks like. And then he goes on in the very next verse and says, "Have this attitude in you, which is also within Christ Jesus, who although he was who he was, he did not regard equality of God with God a thing to be grasped, but he took on humanity." Now, he just got through saying, "With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself." So the truth is, is Bracken more important than me to the Father, to Jesus? No. But love says, "I'm going to regard you as more important than me." And so Jesus said, "Have this attitude in me, which was you and which was in me." And so he said he didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he became human. So he uses that term, regard one another as more important. And what love does, it always regards the one in front of you as more important. Doesn't mean that you're less important. It just means that you regard them as more important. And so if we understand that, and if God is love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is love, then that kind of disposition they share among themselves. And can you imagine how deep and intense that is? Jesus regarded the Father as more important than him. He's greater than me. So I love him so much that I'm going to go to the cross so that the whole world will know how much I love him. That's powerful. When I was thinking about this morning, and the Lord was speaking to me, we'll do what we can. We'll probably pick it up again tomorrow. But this is like so much bigger than me. It's so much bigger than words I know how to put it into. So all I can say is in our little brief few minutes that God can speak something to you. It's kind of mystical, but pretty amazing. This is from John 10. I think it's from John 10. Yes. done. John 10, right verse. Well, John 11 doesn't help. This is John 10, 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So are Jesus and the Father equal? So is one just as important as the other? Yes. But when Jesus said, the Father is greater than me, he's saying, my love for him, for the Father, is so intense, I regard him as more important. The Father's love for Jesus is that Jesus is more important than him. Their love for the Holy Spirit is that he's more important than us. The Holy Spirit's love for them is that he is more important than me. And this is the Trinity. This is the relationship the Trinity shares with each other. So when he says to us, with humility of mind, and the language there actually is humility of heart, not just mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. And so when I saw this, I thought, Lord, this is crazy. Exciting to me. So you with me so far? So remember these verses. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so again, that abiding place is Jesus himself, that he's going to receive us into his very life, into union with him. And then Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so a number of times in the Upper Room Discourse in chapter 13 through 17, Jesus just makes this simple statement, speaking to the disciples. I go to the Father. I go to the Father. But Jesus said he went to prepare a place for us in him. No one can come to the Father but through him. And he said this in the early part of this chapter. He said, so that where I am, you may be also. He says that again in chapter 17. And so where Jesus, in his relationship with the Father, he says, if I go to the Father, and if you've been placed into Christ, that's what makes you a Christian, then you've gone to the Father too. Now hear this, and that's not news to you, but hear this again, some things that he says. Verse 13 of chapter 14. Whatever you ask in my name will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I mean, in that day you'll know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. Chapter 15, verse 8. By this is my Father glorified. Chapter 17. These things the Father Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to the heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom you gave him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may experience you, Father, the only true God, and experience me, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you've given me. And now glorify you, Father, me. Glorify me together with you, Father, with the glory which I had with you before the world ever existed. Now all that thing that Jesus is saying, now, Father, glorify me and glorify yourself that I may experience the glory that I had before the world ever was. Well, you know what? He's in the middle of all that, you and me. That love relationship where the glory of God is just being shared and passed among. And we're in the middle of that because we're experiencing where Jesus is, there we are also. He goes to the Father, and when he does that, he takes me there with him. So I have his relationship. This is what the church has believed for 2,000 years. We've said this again. I have Christ in me on earth. That's wonderful. But in the heavenly places, I'm in Christ. And in that context of mutual sharing of love and affection and glory, manifestation of nature and presence. Can you imagine what that must be like? Can you understand why the third heavens, the throne room, is described in the book of Revelation? It's like flashes of lightning and thunder and earthquake. And that's about what's going on in terms of this amazing relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that you and I are now in the middle of. Jesus said in John 14, just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in that kind of love. The kind of love the Father has for me is the kind of love I have for you. Now, live in that. Be conscious of that. Celebrate that. Take that in. Soak in that. The best part is this, and then I'll stop. John 17, the last part. And for their sakes, well, I'll leave that verse for tomorrow. Verse 21. That they may be one, even as we, Father, are one, you and me, I and you. That they may also be in us. Whew. Even as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, they may also be in us. In that relationship. That the world may believe that you did send me, and the glory which you have given to me, I share with them. That they may be one just as we are one. I mean, we get just thrown into the middle of their oneness and their mutual affection that can only be described in terms of glory. I in them, verse 23, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me, and that the world may know that you did love them even as you have loved me. Jesus said in John 15, 14, that they would know that I love you as much as I love the Father. The Father would know that you love them as much as you love me, Father. For I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am in this relationship, in order that they may behold my glory, which you've given me. For you did love me before the foundation of the world. We get to experience that as if that the love that the Father's had for Jesus before the foundation of the world, we're right in the middle of all that. Because we're in Christ. You're in Christ. He's clothed in our humanity. And so you're participating. Jesus is sharing with you his relationship with the Father. And all that mutual, you're greater than me. I love you. I regard you as greater. No, I regard you as greater. And you're in the middle of all that. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, in order they may behold my glory, which you've given me, for you did love me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you. I've known you, and these have known that you did send me, and I have made your name, Father, known to them, and will make it known. Whew. Through all of eternity, he's sharing with us how he feels, what he thinks. We're participating in his feelings and thoughts and insight into the Father. That the love with which you did love me may be in them because I'm in them. Now, I know that I did a really terrible job. I don't know if you could do anything but a terrible job explaining that. And I need more time to do it, so it'll be a Sunday morning at some point or a Sunday morning series, but I want you to get this, how game-changing it is. I don't know if you think your life is ever dull or boring or you have routine. This is nothing routine. This blows all routine out of the water. It blows all perspective out of the water. Because you get involved in this thing, this relationship, this communication, this mutual affection. You, like, in union with Christ, and the Father saying, oh, I regard you as greater than me. I love you that way. I'm participating in that. And then when Jesus says, no, I regard you as greater than me, I'm sharing in that. And the Holy Spirit's all part of that. And there's this lightning and thunder of glory going on among us, and I'm in the middle of all that. It's hard to have a bad day if that's true. It might change your self-image. It might change your perspective because he took our humanity into that. So I'll do this real quick. So I hope I don't offend anybody by telling the story. I went to watch my grandsons. I have 50, I think. And they all play sports. And they all play sports every day. So I went to watch them play sports. And my oldest grandson was in a football game. And it was the wildest thing I've ever seen. The opposing team had 5 personal fouls, penalties. I've never seen that in my life. They were slamming the kids into the ground. And there should have been about 7 or 8 personal fouls. I've never seen that before on the junior varsity level. It was so sad. Parents were freaking out. 2 kids of my grandson had concussions, had to go to the hospital. One had to go this morning because his leg got And it was all because this dirty stuff was happening. It was just tragic. I've never seen it like that before. And so I walked away, like, trying not to be angry, but I found my heart just offended. You ever had people's behavior offend you? Especially if it affects somebody you're close to and you love. So this morning I'm just talking a little bit about it. I talked to some others because it's kind of the talk that's going on in a lot of places right now. And so I wasn't mad, but I realized I wasn't quite where Christ was either. And I just heard Jesus say, look, are you going to stand off at a distance and throw rocks? That didn't change anybody. Or are you going to step into their humanity? Because this is about brokenness. This isn't about the kids. It's about the parents that told them it was okay to do this, who instructed them to do this. It's about their brokenness and being hurt for them, not hurt with them. And the only way you can do that is the same way Jesus did it. He stepped into our humanity so he could sympathize with our weaknesses and then try to bring healing from that perspective, because that's from the inside out, not from judgment, but from love. You hear me? Well, that's what God did for us. He took on our humanity and then took us into that environment that's so transformative. And you live in that every day. That's where your heart space and head space should be constantly. But when it is, it affects the way you see everything and everybody and react to every situation. Because remember, it's not that Jesus didn't condemn. He came to not condemn. And the woman caught the adultery is the perfect example. All the religious people were angry and wanted to throw stones. Because it's really possible they caught her in the very act of adultery. They may have known the person who she was married to and were really offended for him. But Jesus wouldn't throw stones. And all the ones who were condemning, they left. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Then he could say, now go and sin no more. Do you see the connecting thing? Anyway, this may have just been me yakking, but I'm telling you. The whole thing about the football game is one thing, but this whole thing is just blows my doors off just from hanging out. So this is what I'm doing now. I'm not like trying to do chapter 16 or chapter 15. I'm just soaking in the Upper Room Discourse, and we're just going to throw up stuff for until we get tired of doing it, kind of like Philippians. But it's so stunning to me, that right now, that's what I'm in the middle of. And you can't think the same. You can't see anything the same when you realize that. Okay? For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Whew. That'll change your world. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.